UNLV.edu/camp.
I'm Christopher Lydon. This is The Connection. It's that time of year when the mail arrives bearing all the details of your upcoming reunion. Connection listeners, are you going to yours? We went back to the reunion of Northfield High.
How do I look?
Great, great. Actually, you look like you've lost a little weight.
Well, I haven't eaten anything but cauliflower in the last week.
Brilliant ideas.
Oh, you're glowing. When that jerk Tad Shields, who dumped you for Heather Pippin, sees you, he'll be tongue-tied with regret.
I should be glowing. Seaweed wrap, paraffin, manicure, one-hour anti-aging wrinkle-free mask. Hey, speaking of that jerk, is that him? Is that Mr. Hunky Athlete North of the Year, Tad Shields?
Northfield!
Oh, my God.
He has no hair.
Yeah, and at least two chins. Oh, but he's just recognized you. And now he's trying to get your attention. Here he comes.
Jilly, look at you. Is it possible? You haven't aged a day since I last saw you. You've probably been married at least three times by now.
Thanks, Tad. No, actually never married, but there is someone in the picture. And you're looking, prosperous.
You bet I am. I'm the manager of the Ford dealership in town. Boy, did I blow it when I let you go.
Northfield!
Oh, the football team's doing the team huddle. Gotta go. Bye, Jilly.
Hey, girls. Don't you look gorgeous?
Sorry, we don't remember you.
Oh, my name is Auntie O'Graham, girls, but you might remember me as Tommy O'Graham.
Tommy O'Graham? The star basketball player?
The one and only. Traded in layups for makeup. Anyway, love ya. Oh, is that Tad Shields? Tad, come back, Tad.
Oh, look, here comes Bernie Lipschitz. Never trusted that guy. Everything that came out of his mouth seemed like a lie. Hey, is that a sarong he's wearing? Bernie, my God, you're so exotic. Is this your reunion costume?
No, it's what I wear now. And the name is Rumi Loren. During my 10 years in Nepal, I had a spiritual awakening, and I realized I was a Buddhist priest in another life.
Where does Loren come from?
I design sarongs for men. It's my label, Loren, for men. Haven't you heard of it? A multi-million-dollar company.
Nope. Still live in Nepal?
Oh, not anymore. I live in Trump Tower now with my girlfriend of 5 years, Teagues. Cheryl Teagues, you've heard of her, haven't you? And, we have our dog, Lassie, of course.
Why go back to face the boyfriend or the girlfriend that dumped you? Or the best friend you had a falling out with, and now you can't even remember why? Or the person you always had a secret crush on, but you were too nervous to do anything about it? Why go back? Because you're curious. Is the bouncy blonde still bouncy? Has the class nerd morphed into Cary Grant? Is the class rebel working for Ralph Nader? And most important, how do you look? Does it matter? Of course it does. At the 10th reunion, everyone's married. At the 25th, everyone is divorced. At the 50th, everyone's taken Viagra. Connection listeners, did you go back? What did you find out about yourself, about them, about life? Or do you stay home out of principle? Or out of fear? Or out of indifference? Our phone is 1-800-423-8255 or 1-800-423-TALK. The reunion connection. Our guest to mull over the joy and the tyranny of reunions is Alex Beam, Boston Globe columnist, who's about to attend his 25th Yale reunion. We'll also be joined by Edith Wagner, editor of Reunions magazine. Alex, the big question is, are you going?
I am going, Chris, and not for the first time. I'm going for the second time because 5 years ago, I overcame my absolutely desperate reunion phobia and took my then 10-year-old son down to New Haven. We stayed in the dormitory, and I met other people who were then, I guess, 40 years old from various walks of life, and I had an absolutely delightful time, although I did leave Saturday morning, because on Saturday is when all the really threateningly successful people show up.
They fly in their own planes, this kind of thing?
Yes, or they're driven up from New York, because Yale's really close to New York, so they're all working Friday night. But on Friday night, there were about 100 people there, some from Alaska, people from interesting places who had to arrive early because of time zones. And I just had a completely swell and unthreatening time, and I will be going back again in just a couple of weeks.
Alcohol helps, probably.
Alcohol helps, although I can never tell if I'm drinking or not. I can't tell if I'm going to climb on or off the wagon. You know, Colin McEnroe, who attended Yale, told me just a couple of days ago that everyone should go to these things with a number on their chest, which is their position in the world order, so that you'll know whether you're talking up or down to someone.
What is the phobia about? And I mean, you're a monster success, so what have you got to worry about? Who stays away and why?
I can tell you a little phobia story, not about me. I went to college with a guy named Robert Picardo, who is fairly well known. He was the male doctor on China Beach, possibly the only male doctor. I never saw China Beach. He did a two-person show with Jack Lemmon just out of college. Terrific success. And I was sitting next to him 5 years ago, and he was hunched over his beard, totally depressed. I was with my son, and I said, "Bob, what's the matter?" He said, "Oh, things have never been worse. I'm so sad I came. I have absolutely nothing to boast of." I said, "Gee, well, what's going on?" He said, "My agent has signed me up for this incredibly awful television show. It's called Star Trek Voyager." And at this point, my son Christopher, his ears are starting to get a little red, and they're kind of perking up because everything else he's heard is totally boring. And Picardo's still drinking, and his face is in his beer. And he says, "Yeah, I'm playing a hologram." And then my son is, "The hologram? You're the hologram? You're the most famous person I've ever met." And Picardo had his glossies, and he handed them to this 10-year-old boy. So in a sense, we can all be sort of rescued, as it were, by something or someone.
Edith Wagner, of Reunions Magazine, welcome.
Thank you.
Who goes and who doesn't go? And then let's get into why.
Wow, who goes and who doesn't go? I really think it's up to the individual. And you know, most people, I think, go because they're very curious. Some of the kinds of things you've already talked about, you know, to see who has made it and who hasn't. And I think the who hasn't oftentimes are the people who don't come. And I do agree with the person who says, you know, I have nothing to boast about. Because I really do think that even at reunions, people, you know, puff it up a little bit and, you know, add something to their resume that they, I think, hope that no one will ever find out. I think most of us go to find out, you know, exactly that list of things. Is the cheerleader still perky? Is the football hero still buff? You know, what are people doing? Mm-hmm. And at the 10th reunion, they're counting kids and talking about how long they've been married. And, you know, there are just certain stages in life. We all went through 4 years together, whether it was college or high school. We went through four pretty significant years together. And some of us remember all the details. I have friends who remember every detail, and I am just shocked to think that we went to the same schools at the same time. Because I don't. You know, I don't remember it quite the same way. I've moved around most of my life, but many of my friends have stayed in the same. Their kids have gone to the same high school.
Go ahead. You say it's about them and our curiosity, but my experience also is it's a lot about us, about ourselves.
Oh, sure. I think it is an opportunity, whether, you know, people think about it or not, to really, you know, find out. I think a lot of people find out who they were then by talking to some other people. But I also think that they're just... It's sort of placing where they are in their lives, where they were then and what they're doing now. And that's the people who are there that you're going to see as well as yourself. You definitely take, you know, we take a lot of baggage to things like that. I think a lot of people leave some of the baggage behind. The people who did have feuds and go to a reunion and can't remember why.
There's also this funny thing, you know, sort of an opportunity cost of going to a reunion, because I looked at the 1,500 people who graduated with me. And you see 100 lawyers, 100 doctors, and you can't help but wondering where you might be on that curve if you had done something differently. You could have had an actual career instead of being a journalist.
I'm not sure that that's fair either. I think it's really a question of judging whether or not you're happy. because you certainly can go to reunion and run into somebody who you think has just all the money in the world, for example, and you're struggling along, but you're really happy with what you're doing. And I think that there are certainly some unhappy people that come to reunions. But it was my mother who pointed out to me many years ago, after one of my reunions, she was always eager to hear, you know, who was doing what, where she said to me, you know, I think only the successful people come to the reunions, the people who really have something to tell other people that they've accomplished. And that's always been my experience, that the people who really have accomplishments are the ones who come. And you know, as time goes by, what I hear from people who are into their 40th and 50th reunions is that nobody really thinks about any of that high school stuff anymore. These are friends of theirs, and they're going to see them, and they really, they don't spend a year trying to lose weight and an enormous amount of money getting just the right outfit. So, you know, as you get older, you go to those reunions just for the camaraderie of the people that you were together with many years before.
I think, you know, the big thing about the 50th reunion, of course, is that you're alive. I've read some very amusing...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Yes, I think a lot of people think that, for sure.
I want to politely disagree with you on this notion of success, and I think I part company with Christopher on this also. And I hate to be unnaturally zen, although I guess it's okay because we're on public radio, but it's really about if you're comfortable who you are, that's not really a matter of success or failure or how much you earn. And I think for me, it was just realizing that I was okay being who I was, and I was so fascinated to meet other people.
Yeah, but that is a measure of success. That's a measure of your own success.
Only in the Zendo.
I mean, you're not a bank president, you know, you're not...
Well, I was going to say, and I don't know where you're disagreeing with me yet, Alex, because you haven't given me a moment to make a fool of myself yet, but what is the standard of success? I mean, certainly in every Yale class, there's somebody who's become a U.S. senator or taken over Continental Can or made $1 trillion. But there is another sort of eye contact measure of contentment, tranquility, peace, or maybe some different kind of accomplishment, too. Could you put your finger on it?
Well, I totally agree with you. I have another anecdote that's always moved me personally. My father, who's not alive, graduated from Princeton in 1929, and I once saw his class book. The men who attended Princeton in 1929 were exclusively white, exclusively from private schools within a certain radius of Princeton. And once, when he was very, very old, he took out this book, and he said, you know, there was someone in my class who was successful. And I had really no idea who he was talking about. I think there was a Rockefeller descendant. There were all these hideous brokers, et cetera, et cetera. And he opened the book to the page with Eric Barnow. Hmm. And Eric Barnow is the founder, some people know, of film studies in America.
He wrote a great history of broadcasting.
Wrote a famous history of broadcasting. And I had never known really who he was or that my father knew him. It was odd. He was very proud to have known this man in amongst these captains of industry and these kinds of successes that perhaps, you know, you and I would acknowledge more conventionally. I was very moved that he actually respected someone who would put a tiny pebble into the great ocean of knowledge.
1-800-423-8255 makes the reunion connection. And as we say, the first question is, are you going? The second question is, what is that sort of secret measure of accomplishment or achievement or success or peace that we're looking for? And is it in those other guys and gals, or is it somewhere in ourselves? 1-800-423-TALK is the phone. Mary's calling from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hi.
Hello, Mary.
Good morning. I think I am going to be attending my 20-year high school reunion this August.
Doesn't seem like 20 years, Mary.
Actually, I have a 15-year-old now, and I think that is the reason that I'm going primarily, is because I'm realizing I wasn't very involved, and I think I'm going for those Zen reasons. I'm very happy. I'm very satisfied with my life, and I was part of the busing that had occurred here in Louisville, and I think the dynamics of what I hope to see is a group of people who I think we shared such an interesting time in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm realizing I really didn't pay that much attention to my high school years, with my son asking me questions of where did I fall in the food chain. You know, was I popular? Was I not? That kind of thing.
Your kids ask you?
My kids ask me. Yeah, because now I have one in high school.
And what do you tell them?
Pardon?
What do you tell them?
I tell them I'm not sure. I tell them, you know, their assumption is that I had to have been a gregarious, outgoing individual, and they just don't seem to believe that there was a different person at that point. I was a different person at that point. So it's kind of funny. So in a way, I want to go back and see if maybe the artsy kids, you know, I had maybe four or five people that I cared about, you know, and that I hung with to some extent, but I certainly didn't. We didn't socialize outside of school.
Well, you're very happy and well-adjusted, and you're the person we're all going to avoid.
I'm very happy. And the funny, the irony of the whole thing is, and a friend of mine told me I absolutely had to call you because it is truly ironic. About a year and a half ago, I ran into a wonderful man who I hadn't seen in quite a few years, and we've now been dating for about a year and a half, and strangely enough, he was one of my high school teachers.
And, oh, wow.
And he's been such a big, he really is being a big person. He's agreed to go to the reunion with me. You know, I kind of threw the offer out, and he said yes, he would love to go. So
one thing we haven't talked about, and I'm sure the author of the book, I mean, because it has a slightly loose aspect, but reunions are, of course, also the love connection. A lot of people do go back divorced at the 25th reunion, seeking to reestablish connections. And I even know some sort of heartwarmingly positive stories of people who did recreate that that magic they had with Cynthia and then wandered off and were happy perhaps until the next reunion.
Is this part of the game, Edith Wagner?
Yes. Yes, it definitely is. In fact, there's a writer for the Portland Oregonian, who Jan Mitchell, who has been collecting stories for years because she had this experience, and she's been wanting to put it in a book of people who reconnect, particularly at their high school reunions, is what she's mainly interested in. And she personally had that experience. So, but I think an awful lot of people do go back to see how, you know, a boyfriend or someone they had a crush on is doing, or, you know, whether or not they're even there.
Go ahead.
I want to say something about Mary in Louisville, where she described a happy life, and that to me is success. When I'm saying success, I'm not necessarily saying that, you know, you have to be a lawyer, a doctor, a bank president, or something like that. But I think people who are satisfied with their lives and know who they are probably much more successful. And can do that and can go back and reconnect with some of these people that they were engaged with many years before.
Stand by. Edith Wagner, 1-800-423-8255 makes the reunion connection with Alex Beam in our studio. Daniel's calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Hi, Chris.
Hello, Daniel.
I really had a great deal of trepidation before going to my 20th high school reunion about 10 years ago, and I was fearful. I felt I was basically a failure in life. I was only a freelance journalist. I was not making any kind of decent money. I didn't have a home and a family and a wife and kids, and everyone was going to be lawyers and doctors. And I finally went, and in fact, everyone was lawyers and doctors. It seemed like the entire class, the ones that actually showed up, were lawyers. Maybe 80% of people I talked to. The unsuccessful people did not go. But I felt wonderful being there, because just telling people I was a writer at all, everyone was incredibly happy for me. But, oh, that's exactly what you wanted to be.
Right, because they're not writers. Yeah, right.
And it was very warm. It was very comforting. The only negative thing that happened was I learned that this one guy, Peter, who was kind of a nemesis in high school, he was very insulting and a little jealous of me, I think, but a kind of a bizarre, nasty little guy. He was in my field. He was a journalist, and he was tremendously successful. He basically lived in Paris and I think L.A. as a culture writer and did whatever he wanted to and traveled the world. And it was kind of dispiriting for me to learn this. The only good thing, though, was he got drunk and he stood up in the middle of a throng of people and said with a big smile on his face, "Oh, my gosh, I've just discovered I was a total jerk in high school and everyone hated me. How interesting."
Terrible moment of revelation.
You confirmed this for him, Daniel, I presume.
Maybe in subtle ways. So I thought the whole experience was quite positive, and it was very surprising that it was. And unfortunately, the New York high school system doesn't really have reunions on a regular basis, so I was not able to go to my 30th because they didn't have one. But I was very, very happy I went.
You touch on one thing that is amusing and totally ridiculous, is the ridiculous mystique that attaches to writers. People haven't seen you for 25 years. You published a couple of articles, as I'm sure you've published hundreds. They think that's actually accomplishing something. Alas,
you're known for the weekend as Hemingway, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Daniel, thank you. 1-800-423-8255, the reunion connection. Anne is calling from Pocatello, Idaho.
Good morning. I should answer the question first. I think I'd be motivated to go to my high school reunion for the same reason you slow down to look at an accident scene. But the reason I called was that I used to cater, and we did a lot of high school reunion, and they got to be where we dreaded catering high school reunions. They always turned out bizarre.
Tell us.
I think so. The one I remember in particular was a high school that had closed in the 60s, and so they had a reunion of all the classes that had graduated in the 60s, and they set it up. When you walked in the door, they had a big list of everybody who was dead, and it was kind of a theme night, I guess, because then they had a prayer before the meal, and they went on at length about picturing your dead classmates sitting next to you. And it just went on from there. And I realized that at these reunions, it seems that people, the only thing they really have in common was puberty.
Yeah.
I guess that, and then they could talk about death. But it decided me I just was never, ever going to go to my high school reunion. I feel fairly adjusted. So that was my comment.
And thank you. 1-800-423-TALK makes the reunion connection. Andreas is on the line.
Well, hello, Chris.
Hi, Andreas.
How are you doing today?
Just fine.
Well,
it's not a reunion yet, thank goodness.
Oh, I know, exactly. Well, my point was going to be this. I was thinking about a movie that I saw, and I'll get to the quote in a second. When people go back, let's say you were scrawny and undernourished in high school, now come back and you're ripped and shredded, a bodybuilder, or now you come back tremendously successful when your family had no money. The quote was that it's not our past that shapes our mythology, but our mythology that shapes our past, so that everything that we've been living up until this point seems inevitable. The only thing that we have sort of standing in the way might have been that time when things weren't as so. So maybe we go back, like back to the future, and try and change the past. So now they'll wonder, were they really ever that skinny? Were they really ever that dumb? Were they ever really that unattractive? And now we sort of get to rewrite our history and make things, I don't know, more in sync with what we believe of ourselves now. That was my question slash comment, and I'd like to hear.
It's a beauty.
My favorite movie quote, however, Andreas, I'm sorry to lay this on you, is that great quote when John Cusack in Gross Point Blank is going back to his own 10th high school reunion in order to assassinate someone. And he says to Minnie Driver, remember, he says, the worst thing about going back to reunion is that everyone looks like they've swelled.
Exactly. But what about those who haven't, those who have, like, made the change? So you either go because you haven't been successful, or you haven't been successful in the common way, like money, whatnot. Suddenly you're attractive, or suddenly you've become, what other things might there be? I'm not sure. I was just thinking about that. You know, oftentimes if you were unattractive, Oprah or Ricky Lake often have shows like this. Don't you wish you were with them now? And then it shows them after 10 years, and they've had various jobs done to them, and now they look very attractive, and then they bring in the people that in their past rejected them. How much do you see of that in reunions, people coming back to flaunt, as it were?
I haven't seen very many, although there are movies where people land their helicopters on the football field, et cetera, et cetera.
Edith, what do you think?
Or rent a fancy car to get there. You know, for that one night you can afford a Mercedes or a Jaguar or something to drive up and hope that all of your classmates see you. I think a couple of the reunions that have been talked about obviously are exceptions rather than rules. I have never even heard of a reunion where people only talked about death, though I'm rather amused by the idea. I think that, you know, some people do go to show off, and that's cool. I mean, if that's going to make them happy. And certainly, you know, there were class clowns. Sometimes it's not the class clown any longer. It's somebody who was very shy, who certainly has come out of a shell and you know, really entertains the class.
What is all this sort of, you know, take a tuck or lose 30 pounds preparation.
I
didn't notice this. I mean, what I've noticed is almost exactly the opposite at my reunions. What you see at the 25th reunion is how much genes had to do with everything and the way people's shapes have changed.
Oh, you bet. Yeah, but, you know, you have to be a little bit older before you realize that genes shape some of that stuff. No, I really think that, well, first of all, we have to acknowledge that people go for all kinds of different reasons, period. A lot of people go with great trepidation, as you've already heard, and just find themselves, you know, quite satisfied and enjoying meeting some of the people that they didn't know in high school. Those of us who went who had huge classes, usually it's at the reunion where we meet people that, you know, we're quite surprised that this person was in our class. But obviously it was a totally different person at that time.
They do get better as they go along, don't they? I would say the most wonderful reunion I ever observed was my mother at her 65th college reunion with women who had known each other as girls in the 20s. They had virtually all of them survived the men that they'd married, but there they were in their mid-80s. A whole century practically of friendship and experience shared with enormous affection, you know, especially the ones who could remember, you know, remember those faces. But my own experience, too, is that these things get gentler and happier as time goes on.
I think the 25th is, in a way, sort of the turning point, which is why I had some good experiences both the 20th and 25th, that people are less concerned with harming each other and more concerned with sharing the positive experiences they've had.
The best is yet to come. Edith Wagner, thank you for joining us. We'll be back with Alex Beam after a short break. This is The Connection from WBUR Boston. Funding for The Connection comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where The Connection is produced, and from the Allaire Corporation, empowering people with innovative internet technology and offering dynamic career opportunities at Allaire.com. I'm Christopher Lydon. We're replaying the prom songs on the Reunion Connection. Connection listeners, 10th year, 15th year, 25th year, 50th year, out of high school, out of college, are you going back? 1-800-423-8255. And how do you arm yourself emotionally for the reunion? 1-800-423-TALK with Alex Beam, the Boston Globe columnist, who's celebrating or mourning his 25th anniversary at Yale this spring. 1-800-423-TALK. Dave is on the line.
Hello.
Welcome, Dave.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good.
Lovely show. I have just returned from my 24th, don't ask me why, high school reunion, and I have some observations, but I will be brief.
Okay.
This is exactly the right age. I still have all my own hair and teeth, so I wanted to show them off while I still could.
Good.
Also, I won't say the outcast, I'm not sure of the word, the goofball, the smarter than everybody else, the whatever than anybody else, suddenly over a period of time becomes cool. I went back, the reunion was awkward for maybe 30 seconds, and then suddenly, remember when Dave did that? Yeah, and I said, God, I don't remember being that cool. I thought you guys hated me, you know?
Well, life is a very leveling experience, certainly. And 25 years is a long time for subsidence. Is that any way relating to what you're saying?
I guess. I mean, not that I was hated. It's just that here's Dave doing something goofy again. Also, I've heard of this phenomena before I was going, and maybe you know something. I went to school in the Deep South in Mississippi, so I hadn't seen these people in the better part of 25 years. Several people who live nearby, I mean, within 10 miles, did not come. I told the guy who organized it, I said, excuse me, I'm coming 1,500 miles. They can at least show up, and several didn't. I said, well, if they're not going to, they're probably not going to be any fun. But I guess these people see each other every day or something, every week or so, so it's no big deal.
Yeah, my closest friends aren't coming, actually, and it's very wounding to me personally, and I don't know what they're hiding from, to be honest. Chris, you said your friends also don't come to reunions?
Well, a lot of friends do, but as it happens, all of my roommates were sort of by lot, and not one of them in three different groups of roommates, three different rooms, has ever appeared at a reunion that I know.
Yeah, I wish. I have a friend who's been, holed up sort of, he's writing the great American novel for 25 years, and he's someone I genuinely love, and I suppose he's self-conscious, he's...
How's that book coming?
Everyone's going to say, how's the book coming? Has it been optioned or whatever? But to me, that's a beautiful form of endeavor, and I wish he would grace us with his presence.
These are the people who, who haven't done the great thing yet. There's another phenomenon of the people who did the great thing so long ago that it's become tiresome. And if somebody...
Well, I was...
evoked Gatsby. Daisy's husband, Tom Buchanan, had that problem in Gatsby. He's identified as having been one of the most powerful ends that ever played football at New Haven, a national figure in a way, one of those men who reached such an acute, limited excellence at 21 that everything else savors of anticlimax.
I think a lot of people are...
That's sort of your problem, Alex. I mean...
I know, I was a complete washout and loser in college, and maybe I'm a better person for it now. I mean, I was trying to hint with the caller, Dave, this notion of life being a leveling experience. I mean, I think people are frightened of seeing the big football star or the guy who was, editor of the paper or whatever. And the fact of the matter is that living 25 years brings the same pleasures and the same tragedies are visited on everyone, in my personal opinion. People have been through much worse emotional trauma than I have, and I fear no one, I guess, at this point. Whereas 10 years ago, there are a lot of people I would have feared.
1-800-423-8255, the reunion connection. Sarah is on a car phone.
Hi.
Welcome,
great
Sarah.
Show.
Great to see you again.
I went to a small New England boarding school, which was a very intimate environment, and I also went to Yale. And I will tell you, I will never in my life miss a boarding school reunion, and I may never go to another Yale reunion.
Interesting.
But I was very active in my 20th reunion, which was just last year, and it was such a wonderful experience. I felt like I was going back to be with my 125 brothers and sisters, because everyone there was a boarding student, and we basically grew up together. It was a very intense place. I had an incredibly positive experience, and many did not. And I think many of those are the ones who did not go back. But we all worked hard to get a big crew together. And I found that people were remarkably forgiving, that for some reason the difference between 15 and 20 years, people overlooked a lot of things, were honestly happy to be back together with other people. And I knew every person in that class. And when I go back to a Yale reunion, which I've only done once, I don't even know the people in the class notes. And it's a very personal experience for me. And my questions are, do you think that is there a point in time? I notice a lot of people have been calling about 20th high school reunions. Is there a point in time at which people suddenly at a young, relatively young versus 50 or 60 years out become more forgiving? And what do you think about the differences between the incredible intimacy of a small New England boarding school and a large high school where you don't know people you went to school with, or a college where you've never even heard of these people?
Sarah, I want Alex to answer your questions, but I want you to stand by for one I have about the difference between men and women in the experience of this gap.
Great.
Right. I have a lot in common with you. You stole my word, forgiveness, because and to precisely answer your question, I think forgiveness does appear somehow at the 20th college reunion in my experience, which is that you're simply forgiven, but in the ecclesiastical sense of the word, it's rather beautiful. You're forgiven and exalted for having led the life that you did. I have to say one point listening to you that occurred to me, and I think you, Chris, and I think I suspect we're all separated by about 10 years, and You know, it does slightly depend on where you came in. This word intimate in boarding school are words I try never to use in the same dependent clause. However, I also attended an intimate New England boarding school, and I think I attended it about 10 years, obviously a different one, but 10 years before you did. And we spent our whole time trying to dynamite the place. And you know, that does, in a way, affect a little bit. I mean, this was the tail end of the 60s. And by the time I got to college, we had missed all the really great action. You know, we didn't shut down the college, et cetera, et cetera. But I know now Chris wants to jump in with his question.
Sarah, well, I wanted has he dealt with your point yet, Sarah?
Of course,
yeah.
I have.
Yeah. No, of course he has. It was okay. Great. And I love that he loved my word forgiveness, because that just came to me over and over and over again. Very forgiving environment. Hmm.
What strikes me about men and women, just reading the class books, is that men obsessively list degrees or jobs or companies, and there's always an implication of money in what they've done, oftentimes forget to name their children or even mention the little woman. Women in their class reports talk about homes, they talk about children, they talk much more about sadnesses or illness or problems. At least in my era, it was really striking how unable men were to sort of, in the 25th report, to touch on sort of themselves as human beings. Do you notice this, Sarah?
I think I'm 39, and I think that has changed, because I found, we did a wonderful book. One of my classmates, who I strongly reconnected with in planning this reunion, did a fantastic job really tagging everyone, finding everyone, emailing everyone to respond to a book. And lots of people, lots of men, put some incredibly philosophical and personal information in there. And everybody listed their kids. We've prompted them to do so. But maybe it's because we're a little bit younger. But my big regret is I want, next year, when we do our reunion again in 4 years, I want to see what everybody's spouse does. I know what my classmates do, but whether it's a husband or a wife, It's a fascinating group of people, and it is a very close group of people. We had a wonderful time, but I think maybe the age difference is real, because we did have men doing that. But I think a lot of the women, the wives, filled out the information because they couldn't wait to go back to the reunion either. We've all known the wives and the husbands now for, you know, 15 or at least 10 years.
Yeah, like I'm 46 years old, and I am somewhat older than you. I know Chris and people like him. I think at my age, men are just starting to come clean, to answer, to sort of react to what Christopher was saying. And there's, I have this book here in front of me, and there are a lot of sort of resumes in here, you know, people from Exxon, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a lot of men. I think this is a class of, say, 1,100 men, 300 women. And it's a lot of men who are really telling you something that you'd actually like to know about their life, because you can certainly see their resume somewhere else.
Sarah, thank you. 1-800-423-8255. Niecy is calling from Dorchester, Massachusetts.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Niecy.
Well, I've been to all my college reunions. I just love going. It's my 25th coming up in a couple of years. But it was my high school 20th reunion that I wanted to just tell you an anecdote that happened. I hadn't seen any of these people in 20 years. It was in New York. And a woman came up to me at the cocktail hour and said, are you famous yet? And I looked at her and said, well, you know, in my own small world, yes. And she said, well, because I had been saving this, because I knew you were going to be famous. And she pulled her wallet out of her purse, and out of her wallet she pulled out a piece of paper, which I recognized my handwriting immediately, and she had a poem. I must say, a truly terrible poem that I had written as a young adolescent 16-year-old girl that she had saved all this time, and I was just mortified. And afterwards, because my drink of choice that night had been tequila, I can't remember who she was.
Whoa, that's
a great story.
I just knew she was one of this group of girls, but which one? I don't know.
How long was she lying in wait for you, Niecy?
20 years.
Did she think it was a bad poem? I'll bet she didn't.
No. She
maybe it wasn't.
Saved this poem. Oh, believe me. It's one of those things you just cringe and say, oh, well, yes, I was young.
But you mean poetry was not the realm in which you found your fame, Niecy?
Oh, no, no. Well, I was involved with theater at the time, and now I'm more in visual arts.
We have to ask, how famous are you? We sort of want to know you.
I'm not really famous at all, as I said, in my own small circle.
You're famous now, Niecy.
Okay.
Thank you. 1-800-423-8255. Joe is calling from Potsdam, New York.
Good morning, and thank
morning,
you
Joe.
For taking my call. I'm enjoying your program on WSLU in Canton, New York.
Great.
And I feel very sorry for most of you people and the people who have called in. I'm going home this summer to Iowa for my first high school reunion experience. It'll be the 43rd, and I can't wait to get there. I'm looking forward.
Why have you been avoiding them all these years?
Well, I've been busy, and I live so far away. Part of it was financial. It's expensive. And another part was I'm busy raising my children. And I just didn't go. But this time I am. And what I'm looking forward to are two things. Number one, my husband was a corporate migrant worker, and we moved around a lot. And I'm going to be with people who knew me when and who know who I am, and I don't have to explain myself. And secondly, I have a feeling of closure about it. I'm not that I'm going to die tomorrow. Well, I could, but I'm going to be 61 this summer, and I don't think I'll go again. And so it's going to be a closure to a part of my life. So I'm really looking forward to it. And those of you who are saying, oh, I don't want to go because of this and that, my goodness, you people had terrible high school experiences. Maybe you need to wait a while, and when you're a little older, go, and go without expectation, and just go to be. Thank you.
Joe, it's a wonderfully contented, happy voice, and have a wonderful reunion. 1-800-423-8255, the reunion connection. Anna is on the line.
Hi.
Hello, Anna.
I went to my 30th high school reunion a couple summers ago and had gotten into some complicating incidents in at my tent, so I was a little nervous about it. Plus, I'd been a homecoming queen.
This is getting troublesome.
it was interesting. So I'd been the homecoming queen, so I knew that I would be under scrutiny, and I was nervous about it, and all of that stuff was gone. It was just lovely to be with these people. I ate dinner with...
They'd forgotten you in high school. They'd forgotten what you did at the tent. This was
I hope. I mean, at that point, I'd been a go-go dancer, and you know, people knew that, and it was a strange series of images. But the funny thing was at my reunion, the 30th, I was going to the picnic the day after the party, and I got into a car accident, the first car accident in my life. It was my sister's car. I had a wonderful connection with a guy, and we had this wonderful talk. We were waiting for the cops to come, and he ended up falling in love with my sister, and they are now in a serious relationship. And then, as the homecoming queen, I went to this reunion picnic in a squad car.
Now, are you this kind of person I described? Are you looking for love at these reunions?
No. Maybe the 10th reunion, maybe, but no, by now, no. No, I was just
and I want to know
seeing people and. I had some lovely people that I went to school with, and it was from Madison, Wisconsin, so it was a very stable environment. So the people that I knew in third grade were the people that I spent time with.
And I want to know if it's different, do you think, for a homecoming queen?
Well, I think that there's a lot of assumptions that people make about what it is to be popular. And, you know, I was quite lonely in high school. Other people had really good friends, and I had a lot of people who admired me, but I was kind of lonely. So it was fun to go and just have none of that matter. It just didn't matter.
You're wonderful. Alex?
I'm very envious. I would have liked to have seen the homecoming queen at both the 10th and the 30th. So God bless you.
Anna, thank you. 1-800-423-8255. The reunion connection. Janine is calling from Malden, Massachusetts.
Hi.
Hello, Janine.
Thanks for my call. I just very, very quickly wanted to state that I did not want to go to my 25th high school reunion. I don't even really remember high school that well, considering, you know, the time period that I was in high school, the 70s, the early 70s in particular. And, you know, I didn't remember a lot of people. There were a lot of people in my class, but I decided to go with my best friend from high school, and we went. And that evening I met the man that I married 6 months after that, who I had not really known in high school, but I had met during junior high school at some point in time. And by the end of the evening, we gravitated towards each other. And, you know, it was probably the best move that I ever made in my whole life. So anybody who's hesitating, go.
You know, Mr. Wright may be there.
Mr. Wright may be there. On a more serious note, an earlier caller addressed this notion of playing off of forgiveness. These are people who do know you in a certain way, in a sense, before you started adding these layers of pretense and success and defeat. And it factors a little bit into forgiveness, but I also think it allows for these intimate connections that people remember you essentially in a positive way as someone in a phase of pre-adulthood, I would argue. And I find it very easy to be with these people, probably like anyone finds it easy to be with older friends, in the sense that you don't have to explain all the sort of fibs you've told about yourself in the intervening years. And that's probably why men and women make very strong connections at these reunions.
It's interesting. And as you said before, I think the 25th is a watershed. That's the moment when people start forgiving each other and forgiving themselves. 1-800-423-TALK makes the reunion connection. Scott is on the line. Hello, Scott. Welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to talk about how much fun it can be to go to these reunions. I went to a high school class. We have so much fun at our reunions. People come to these reunions who weren't even in our class. Sometimes people who weren't even in our school come to these things. The best one was we all convened for a collective 50th birthday party in Las Vegas one year.
Wow.
And one couple...
This had nothing to do with where you went to high school.
No, we went to high school in Michigan.
Hence the reunion in Las Vegas.
Not so close. But there was one couple among us who were in the class together and got married after they got out of college. And they redid their wedding vows that weekend in Las Vegas at the Graceland Wedding Chapel. And Elvis officiated, and the chapel was full of people, everyone in costume, singing the high school fight song. Elvis was totally beside himself. He said, I don't know what you guys are on, but whatever it is, keep it. And then we left. We went outside, and the Las Vegas Municipal Columbus Day Parade was marching by the Graceland Wedding Chapel. This is down in the scuzziest part of town. It's just pawn shops and rent-by-the-hour motels and stuff. And here's this parade. There's nobody on the street watching it. Just a parade with nobody watching. So we watched it. And we were getting ready to leave, but this woman ran up to us and said, please stay until my daughter's in the band. And they need an audience. Just stay until that band goes by. So we stayed. And then we joined the parade and marched down the street with them. And it was quite a blast. And we're going to go back and do it again this year for our 55th.
You're going to go back to Las Vegas?
Yeah.
This is amazing. This is expensive.
It's some high school.
Oh, Las Vegas is pretty cheap to get to, actually.
We wish we had attended a high school like that instead of these intimate New England boarding schools.
Yeah.
Well, speak for yourself. Scott, thank you.
Yeah.
Alex, what will guys in the year 2000, 25 years out of Yale, be talking about? It? My last reunion, I must say, they were talking about experience of downsizing, liberation for a lot of them. They were talking about divorce. They were talking about family reconciliations in a number of cases, marriages that had been saved. What are you prepared to talk about?
Well, it's funny, you know, it depends how many cards you choose to bring to the table. I'm bringing yet another son, but not my wife and two other of my sons. In other words, I'm bringing two of the five cards in my hand. I think, alas, you know, people will be, in a somewhat cloying way, people will be talking about family. I will actually be bringing large photographs of my children as opposed to the kind of tiny passport-sized photographs that I walk around with. Lots of divorce. That's a factor. You're 45. You may well be divorced. I guess people are prosperous, and maybe they'll all want to vote for Bill Clinton a third time. That'll be a recurring theme.
Maybe they'll want to vote for George W.,
who's never attended a Yale reunion.
Is that true?
Absolute fact, because it was fact-checked.
He's too successful.
I think he might have been drunk on his rear end getting C's and just doesn't want all those guys he did weed with to be seeing him.
Maybe he wants to forget that he went there. Alex Beam, thank you enormously for joining us. Thanks to Edith Wagner of Reunions Magazine, who joined us earlier in the hour. You can continue the class reunion conversation on our website at theconnectiononeword.org. Our website producer is Jim Norris. We had help today from the Mighty Connection art players, Glenn Alexander, Sean Cole, Mark Wilson, Liz Bulkley, Rebecca Smuckler, and Kim Bichari. The Connection is produced by Catherine Bidwell, Hitesh Hatti, John Holt, Jill Kaufman, Amy McDonald, and Keith Shields. Mary McGrath runs our reunions. I'm Christopher Lydon. This is The Connection from WBUR Boston.
No tears goodbye. Don't want you back. We don't want to cry.
Funding for The Connection comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where The Connection is produced, and from the Allaire Corporation.
PRI, Public Radio International.
This is WBUR. Coming up next, Here and Now, with the U.S. Senate committee asking the question, whatever happened to plans to rebuild the Four River Shipyard at Quincy?